Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
What's going on, guys? Morning.
What it do? Almost at Friday.
Yeah.
Almost there.
Jay got the suit and tie on for the radio. Right, for the simulcast.
Yeah. You know. What up, baby?
Nothing, man. I'm just checking you out, man.
Yeah.
Got something cooking. I smell you.
You smell it? We on it.
Probably got a half a bottle on, too.
Smell me coming into the studio.
Half a bottle.
Damn, Jay. Why you can't put the whole thing on your body?
No, they put it on the face, the clothes. Right. Got the whole hallway smelling
the
like
the night before. He got sprayed on the night before
half
and let
a bottle.
It simmer. Yeah,
Jay's got a meeting with a VC later, right? Yeah.
Well,
some of the get good stuff. Yeah. Not cool water or Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit.
Some of the real good stuff.
Fahrenheit used to get it popping. You know what I'm talking about.
Dracar Noir.
Yeah, you know what I'm
You wouldn't dare wear that right now, though, if I gave you a bottle.
High school.
You wouldn't wear it.
It might just nostalgia purposes.
And the crazy thing is, it probably smelled hella good.
Of course.
Because you haven't smelled it in a long
time. Because you haven't smelled
it
in 30 years.
What is it? Boy.
People used to love that.
Man.
We are on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers podcast presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests on the Goodyear Hotline. So remember when you heard the sound coming in? The Packers beat the Bears a few weeks ago. Aaron Rodgers yells, "I own you," to the fans at Soldier Field. You guys remember that, right, of course?
Did he lie?
Yes.
I mean,
he wasn't wrong.
You, by the way, just so anyway, they're going to play Sunday night. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers was asked, just listen to what he says when he's asked if he regrets it.
I don't know if you can question a whole lot of what I said. You know, we've had a good record over the years against them and won a lot of games in Soldier Field and at Lambeau Field. So it's been a great rivalry. I'm proud to be a part of it. You know, we have... have gotten the better of them the last, 27, 28 times we've played them for the most part. But, I'm sure a lot of times in situations like this, the trash talk is only able to be used if you're getting after that individual that was trash talking. So in order to trash talk, you have to have a lot of confidence in what you accomplished and what you're going to accomplish in the future. At some point, what I said will be used against me. That's just part of it. But I have no regrets for saying what I said, and obviously I think the record kind of speaks for itself.
This level of gangsterism when a dude goes, you know what it is? When the comedy comes from just the straight facts, he didn't put anything on it. He just goes, you know, we got the better of them for the most part the last 27 times we played the 20. He didn't say the last 3 or 4 times. He said 27 times.
Facts are facts. You can't say like Aaron Rodgers said right there. You know, the trash talk, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I could trash talk. And, of course, people going to come at him. But it's true. I own y'all. Like, y'all don't do nothing to me. When y'all see me walk out the tunnel, y'all frightened. When y'all see that 12, y'all are shaking in y'all boots. And that's real conversation and real talk. They can't get mad at that. Do something about it.
You see,
they can't.
Do something about it.
So I'm with you on that aspect, Key, because my thing is, it's one thing when you say it in the game, right? And like the tonality of his voice was very confident in himself. The thing that bothered me about it, and I'm not saying I don't know this actually exists, but it bothered me that players on the Bears team didn't seem like they were pissed off about that, right? I know some people don't care, but this is me. I don't give a damn what other people say. I'm competitive. I'm a competitive prick, right? All I need is ammunition. So when I hear somebody else say, "Well, you know, that's what he does," I'm like, "No, that's not what I want to hear."
So Matt Nagy was asked about it, and this is what Coach said:
"I own your stuff at the end of the last game. Do you guys put that up on your in your room at any point this week? Do you bring it up Saturday night? Do you use it as motivation at all?"
I mean, we're aware of it.
Matt Nagy should have said, "I mean, the man signs my checks. What am I supposed to do?"
Yes, it's on our bulletin board. Well, thank you. Yes, it is.
They are aware of it, so maybe their defensive scheme will put a stop to it. Maybe they will have a defensive scheme that is attacking, that is frustrating Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, put a piece of duct tape on his mouth. I mean, that's the way you look, man. If you can't stop me, Jay.
I feel you, Key. Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. They can get as mad as they want to. They can't stop me.
Like
I'm
touchdown
cool with that.
Celebrations.
It's a gut check, though,
don't
for
let
me.
Them score.
It's a gut check. You know, we talk about character opportunities, right? Okay, fine. Like he said, come stop me. Go stop his ass. Like, go put him in the dirt. Put him in the dirt. Like, you need, I mean, look, sometimes when you have losing seasons, you need something to rally upon. Yeah. And all I'm sitting here saying is he's giving you a rallying cry. Take advantage of it.
I don't think they got enough, though. So okay. No matter how mad they get, they just are undermanned.
Yeah,
nothing they can do. They take the L and keep it moving.
I can still put you in the dirt a couple times.
You know what's crazy?
Hurt.
I could make the joke. You think Aaron Rodgers should fire Matt Nagy because he owns the team? But but it really is true, and I'll tell you how it's true. Remember when Key was like, look up Shanahan's record win-loss as a head coach and then look up Nagy's? It's like, oh, damn, Nagy's is significantly better. Just imagine if
winning
instead
percentage.
Of Rodgers whooping them twice a year, those were wins for the Bears. Your entire perception of the Bears changes because all of a sudden they go from like, oh, 8-8 in recent years, 10-6. All of a sudden they're a powerhouse. Rodgers really does own the Bears, and he's really about to fire Matt Nagy.
You know what's so crazy about it is I still for the life of me can't understand why they would ever fire Lovie Smith. I still to this day I'll never understand that.
Don't make sense.
Because those were good games, Green Bay versus Chicago back then, and it was a different situation. Since then, Aaron Rodgers, them, and Green Bay just keep rolling and steamrolling them and steamrolling them and steamrolling them. And they just can't get out of their way.
Well, I mean, the reason Zimmer is still there, right, is because if you look at the Vikings' record, it's still no good against the Packers, but they seem to play them tougher than the Zimmer defense against Aaron Rodgers. At least, like, it's, I don't know what it is now, but it's like 16 wins against 9 losses instead of 20-something against,
stupid.
Like,
even what he said on the back end, Max, where he's like, at some point it'll probably be used against me. I'm like, but will it? But will it while you're in Green Bay? Like, I don't know.
Well,
he's
not even talking about from a player standpoint. What he's talking about is from fans in the media.
Okay.
Being
not
able to
from
have
the Bears perspective.
No, not from the Bears perspective. He's just talking about the way, like the fact that we're talking about it. There's going to be people in Chicago that's screaming and hollering, and there's going to be other fans in other places that say things about what he said. He owns them. I mean, players like Jimmy Graham said, players say that all the time. To other players, to fans, like, you might be a 5-0. Like, I own y'all. Like, don't ever tell me anything because I dominate you every time I play against you.
It does seem to me we have not heard a lot about Rodgers leaving Green Bay recently. And when he got COVID, when he misled everyone about the vaccination status, all that stuff, there was an opportunity there for the team to wrap their arms around him. It seems to me like they did. And then when you look at what's going on in the rest of the division, you look what happened in New Orleans and Denver, two of those spots, people started speculating. Why would he leave?
Well, that's what I was trying to say to y'all 4 months ago.
But you were like, if they get to the Super Bowl, do you still think they need to get to the Super Bowl to keep him there?
Absolutely.
I'm not sure. I mean, after the COVID situation, the way they put protection over him, I think that really helped their relationship.
I agree. I don't know that they put protection over him. What they did is they're winning games. And when you win, it's nothing to talk about. Like, what are you going to – you going to talk about his toe? You want to talk about his toe? You can talk about his pinky toe.
They were winning games last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been winning games since he's been there.
They were winning games last year, but there was no noise about Aaron Rodgers until the end of the season when it became a distraction. And then he came back and there was still noise. And they started winning games. Then the COVID situation came up. Because when he came back and they were winning prior to COVID, there was no noise.
We're also overlooking
COVID came up. COVID came up, boom, they lose to Kansas City. He comes back, they win again. There's nothing to talk about.
We're overlooking one big thing. Nagy. LaFleur took the ball out of his hands on fourth down, handed it to Tom Brady. They lost the game. That ain't happening again.
No way.
So but like that whole thing, and he just felt disrespected by the team and everything. It seems to me that the ship has kind of been turned around now in Green Bay. We're asking on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed at Key, Jay, and Max, what quarterback needs to win multiple playoff games to prove themselves? Be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's heating up and the fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. All right. Aaron Rodgers getting closer and closer, it seems to us, to staying in Green Bay. Is one NBA superstar getting closer and closer to leaving his town?
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Curry curling off a screen. It's up and good. Curry knocked it down.
Steph Curry has reminded people of his genius based on this year. The ball has to go through that guy. That guy's the best player in the world, one of the best players in the world.
He has redefined the way the game is played. Best pure shooter we've ever seen.
I think he's already the most prolific shooter in the history of the game. Not going to be, you know, I think he's going to break the record.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. The call on 95.7 The Game. Steph Curry is now just 9 threes shy of tying Ray Allen for the most in a career. 10 to break it.
10 to break it, okay.
9 to tie it, 10 to break it. He was 6 of 17 of 17 from behind the arc last night. So he was gunning last night. I don't know if he's thinking he's going to break, but he's like...
hunting that thing.
Let me make sure I could break it on national TV on Saturday, right?
If I'm him, though, I'm a sputter alone because it's not game, so I'm going to hit 3. Then I'll go another 2. Till I get home. Then I might not take some shots. Till I do it back home in Golden State.
Nah, yeah, they're going on a 5-game road trip.
Just take your time.
Nah. You know what? I want to do it against my brother. I want to do it on the road at Philly, an ABC game. Like, there would be nothing better. Think about every Christmas, every holiday. Hey, Seth, how you doing? Broke that Ray Allen 3-point shooting record on you that day.
In
huh?
your
Remember
face.
I hit 10 threes that day? 10 threes that game? My 22nd game in my career where I made more than 10 threes?
To him, no, already, though, right?
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying, it just adds another one to the belt.
Or he can do it the next game in Indiana where Ray Allen might be able to be there, or he can do it at Madison Square Garden. There's, like, some good spots for him to break the record.
But at Madison Square Garden, he doesn't have, like, I guess because it's Madison Square Garden, this people would It'll say the there. Mecca, the NBA basketball arenas and all that, but there's no adversarial relationship with the team or the arena, so it loses some luster, right? If this was a Reggie Miller or Michael Jordan or something like that, then it probably would
feel right.
It would feel right.
Yeah, it wouldn't feel as right, but at least there'd be some kind of story. He did it at the Garden.
Max, can I tell you something that feels right? I was thinking about Steph last night watching him play, and I thought to myself, he's the most revolutionary offensive player the game has ever seen. Now, I'm not going to say off the court because Michael Jordan obviously destroys that game with Brand Jordan, the way he transcends the culture. But just on the court, he's transcended of the game. He's inverted offenses. You have – and when I look at LeBron or when I look at Julius Irvin or when I look at Magic Johnson
Elgin Baylor.
Or Michael Jordan, right? Michael Jordan, 6'6", 40-inch vertical. Like, it's not attainable for kids. LeBron James, Karl Malone – right, Karl Malone,
vertical.
Magic Johnson.
Jay, 48-inch vertical.
Not attainable, right?
40, I was about to say, damn, that's not very high.
40 is really high, by the
way. No, that's right, crazy.
40 is really high, yeah. LeBron James, Karl Malone, and Magic Johnson combined, right? Steph, 6'2", 6'3"?
Yeah.
You got kids out there saying, yo, I could do that. I feel like, even though we know they can't, it feels like they can.
I always felt like the 2016, and I was there. I went there as a fan, bought tickets and everything. Because I thought that was going to be the changing of the guard, that Steph would now be the face of the NBA. He'd beat LeBron. They'd have 73 wins and the chip. And in that moment, in that fourth quarter, you could bristle at this, Jay, because, oh, but chip's on the line. They had such a choke job. That was the moment for me that Steph was going to, and I thought he was going to do it, take over the NBA. That didn't happen. However, he, and I would also say Draymond Green, revolutionized the way the game is played. The way they play the pick and roll, the five men out, the whole thing. The
continuity of the offense.
The fact that, forget about the fact the ball doesn't stick with Steph. The three-point line, that gives you 3 points. Why would you ever back up from that? Because you don't get any extra points. But what winds up happening is you create extra space, and now everyone on the team shoots it better because rotations are slower. They have to cover more ground. It completely changed the way the game is played.
And the combo guard, I mean, just a game changer. Dame changed the game too, though, in a different way.
Well, speaking of Damian Lillard, he didn't play for Portland, but was on with Scott Van Pelt. SVP played this clip for Dame from the summer when Lillard talked to Mark Spears about his future in Portland. So it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here is Damian Lillard on his future in Portland. Listen.
Over the summer, I was just like, you know, I want to win. You know, what is next year going to look like? And when we brought in Chauncey, it was just like a, for me, I made the decision that, you know, I'm not going to bail out on him. You know, I want to be a part of the success of a African-American coach. You know, I don't want to leave him out to dry, you know. So it was important for me to be here and to try to achieve, like, that ultimate success with him.
So here's Scott Van Pelt. Keep that in mind. Here's Scott Van Pelt last night asking Dame if anything has changed since he said that over the summer.
Nothing at all has changed as far as what I said in that clip. You know, I say what I mean, and I mean what I say, and, you know, we haven't had the start that we wanted, you know, but we're a work in progress, you know, and myself, the rest of my teammates, and Chauncey, you know, it's a partnership with them, and everybody wants to win, everybody wants to, you know, get this thing turned around, and I'm just trying to be a part of the solution to that, you know, and get us going in the right direction, and that takes time. You know, we knew it was going to be some growing pains with a new coaching staff, first-time head coach, and so many new guys, and we're just working our way through it.
So that's Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Jay, rumors Dame wants out of Portland. What do you hear when you hear that from Dame?
He wants to be repaid for his loyalty. Yeah, give me $55 million when I'm 35, 36 years old. Make me the highest paid player in the NBA. I want to be here. Dame is never going to say, I do not want to be here. You will never hear that from Dame. He is one of the most loyal people ever when it comes to the game of basketball. And I respect the hell out of that for what he stood with Chauncey Billups and being an African-American coach and doing that for the community of Portland. But the question is it in Portland's best interests due to cap issues to keep Dame because of the money he's asking? He already had a $176 million four-year deal. He's asking for another $107 million on top of that for another 2 years on the back end. I already feel like Portland's at this place where they want to rebuild. The question is, can you rebuild with Dame? And I don't think you can.
I think they can rebuild Dame. He certainly wants to be in Portland. He's very, very loyal to Portland, a team that drafted him. He's been there his entire career. So everything that I know and talking to people that I know that's really, really close to him, money is not an issue, but the opportunity to secure the rest of your future with a team that you feel could potentially, with Chauncey Billups, turn into something if you can get the right pieces around him. He doesn't want to abandon them, but at the same time, time is a ticking in his career to the point where you have an opportunity, if you get the right pieces, to push for a championship. A couple years ago, they did it, but they couldn't get over Golden State. And now you kind of hit the reset button by bringing Chauncey in. And over the next couple years, they should be in a better position if they could just put the right pieces around.
I think it's so difficult to win a championship. If you, like, we're kicking around names, who could be on the move? If, let's say, Portland got Bradley Beal and Karl Anthony Towns with Damian Lillard, and they put the right pieces around those guys, maybe they could win a championship. It's extremely difficult. Like, the teams that win are just stacked. I don't know if they can do that in Portland. And, Jay, I agree with you. There's a way of saying, look, this doesn't make sense for anyone involved, and I'll show you why. This is what I need to stay. This is what would make sense, and that doesn't make sense for you. So why don't you just move me? There's enough smoke around him wanting out that I think that's the case based on, hey, give me $55 million a year when I'm 36 years old. He says,
but 36 years old, man, you're like a puppy.
Well, I mean, it's, yeah, times are changing now.
Yeah, the way some dudes are aging, like Steph Curry.
Like CP3.
You're not lying.
LeBron James.
Yeah. He says it's Super Bowl or bust for one NFL quarterback who has never even won a single playoff game.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Cardinals beating the Bears, Kyler Murray and D-Hop were back, and they connected playing on the road that weather.
Man, those balls were slick. You could see it one coming out as clean as we would like, but that's part of playing in this league, part of playing in Chicago in December. He made plays with his feet when he needed to. I helped us win the game.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline, including Vince Carter at 8:10 a.m. Eastern. So yesterday, guys, we had Kurt Warner on the show. And I asked him about expectations for Kyler Murray and Mac Jones going into the playoffs. I just love the way he articulated this point, because we've been dancing around this issue on this show.
We?
Well, you too. Yeah. I'm saying, like, we've come at it from points of view that seem to kind of circle around the same point, but no one said it like this. So this is how Kurt Warner put it.
You know, I look at the teams like the New England's and the Arizona Cardinals, that to me maybe the two most complete teams in the NFL. I kind of step back a little bit because I just want to see those guys in the moment. I want to see those guys show me against good teams that they can stack those performances on top of one another three or four times to get to the Super Bowl. But when I look at the Cardinals, that's the only question I have, is not is Kyler good enough, but when he gets into that moment, is he good enough to string three or four really good games together to beat an Aaron Rodgers and to beat a Tom Brady? And that's kind of, to me, the only really step, the only thing that I need to see from the Cardinals to really believe that they're, you know, they're in the mix to be able to get to the Super Bowl.
So the reason I say circle around this point, Key and Jay, is because when we've talked about who do you think, what about the Arizona Cardinals, and none of us were saying it's impossible, they can't do it, but it's not like a wise bet. Not because, well, Kyler Murray's never done it before. That doesn't mean he can't do it. That's right. But the difference is not doing it once. It's doing it, as Kurt Warner said, three or four times in a row against the best teams in the world. I thought he hit it on the head, Key. Jay, what do you think about what Kurt Warner said?
Yeah, well, he's right. Playoffs intensify. It goes up. Preseason, regular season, and each round you go into the playoffs, it just goes up. The energy level, the speed of the game, the complex things that they do schematic-wise, it just goes up. And so when you look at teams, for instance, or players, for instance, they go through some bumps along the way before they actually hit. I mean, I could go all the way back to the New England Patriots. Under Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells, they had a core group of individuals back then, whether it was Ty Laws and Willie McGinnis and Teddy Bruce, they lost. Then Belichick takes over, boom, boom, boom. They go, they win. But they had a core group, a foundation that was there. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, every year we go to the playoffs, lose. But we had a foundation. Eventually we got there, pay dirt, boom, because we took on that challenge. The Philadelphia Eagles under Andy Reid, every year McNabb and them, they couldn't do it. Then all of a sudden, boom, they hit, they go. They lost to New England, but they got there. Mm-hmm. But it took a minute. You don't just go from 0 to 60 like that. It just doesn't happen. And so when you got a young quarterback going up against the likes of a Aaron Rodgers in this particular situation, the NFC, Aaron Rodgers, a Tom Brady, a Dak Prescott, you've got to now run through that whole gauntlet to get there. You know, no matter where you're playing, I don't care if you're in Arizona, Lord knows they don't want to be in Green Bay in the NFC Championship game. It becomes problematic.
Rough sledding, well, Jay.
This is recency bias, but I mean, I hear that there are bumps in the road, but I did just watch Tom Brady last year, and I know that's an outlier. I know that's a rarity, but considering what that team was before, how quickly they got boom, boom to winning a championship. So it can be done.
But they were just missing a quarterback. And then he brought A.B., Gronk, and Fournette with him.
But it can be done.
Yeah, it can't be possible.
It's an anomaly, but it's rare, but it can be done.
But here's what Max just said that you're missing, Jay. The damn quarterback, man.
I hear you.
The dude dodges bullets like he's just one of the Matrix dudes.
Perfect scenario.
He just does this.
You got a spidey sense, man.
Every time you look up, you're talking about the quarterback. We're talking about a young quarterback who has never been in this position. Now he gets an opportunity. If he takes and wins the first round bye and he gets the first round bye, he's already won as far as I'm concerned.
By the way, that's Kyler and Mac Jones.
They've already won.
I can't say that for Kyler.
They've already won.
I can't say that for Kyler. You get the first round bye.
Okay, well.
Like you have to still win another game and at least get to the NFC Championship.
So let's start right there.
You've been the best team in the league.
Let's do it.
From the beginning to end.
Let's do it.
I don't think you listened, Jay.
Hold on, Jay. Key, hold on. Let's do it. Let's break it down. What would be a successful playoff run for each of the quarterbacks that we're interested in, right? Like, what would be successful for Kyler Murray?
Divisional round. However he gets there. Meaning
got to win a playoff game.
No, just get there. So he could get there two ways. He can get there first round bye, which puts him in the divisional round.
No.
He's already there. Or, for whatever reason, they squander the bye.
Then now you got to win a playoff
game. It puts him there.
What do you say, Jack?
No. Hey, I think, look, they're probably going to get the bye. They get the bye, you have to win one playoff game, man.
You know what? I'm with Key on this. If you get the bye, that means you've been the best team the whole time in the regular season. Then you didn't advance in the playoffs. It's like, okay, it's the first time you've been to the playoffs.
If you don't get the bye.
If you guys don't live your life by excuses, but I'm just saying, I don't live my life by excuses by saying, hey, getting the bye is good enough. For this team, they have been the best team in the NFL if they complete it by getting the bye from the beginning to the end of the season.
Jay put on a suit and tie and said, if that's good enough for you, fine, but not me.
Much like Kurt Warner said, they have not gone through the gauntlet on a consistent basis in the National Football League playoff, Jay. You are going up against the best. We're not going up against Matthew Stafford 1 week and then Ryan Fitzpatrick the next. Well, we're going up against to get there. You brought it up. We got to hit Brady. And Rodgers, and maybe Dak Prescott. Like, that's hard.
I feel you. I wouldn't call their season a failure. I would never say
no,
that.
I'm just saying expectations should be
win a playoff game.
Wait, you brought it up. You brought up Matthew Stafford. What does Stafford have to do?
Oh, he got to win the damn Super Bowl, man. Come on. He's got to go. Go to the Super Bowl. And he's got anything other than going to the Super Bowl, it was a complete failure in an experiment that, Jay, they traded 2 number one picks, their future. Mm-hmm. They gave up a second rounder, too, I believe, Max and Jay.
Yeah, yep. You're right.
They gave up a quarterback.
No,
that
two
took,
firsts and a third, I want to
okay,
say.
Okay, two first. I said second, yeah, so two yeah, yeah. firsts and a third. Yeah. They gave up a $100 million quarterback that took them to the Super Bowl as part of a team. Who they drafted first overall.
Completely different running game then, but go ahead.
Jay. They got to go into the Super Bowl. Anything short of the Super Bowl
all right,
is
wait,
a complete
Jay, what do you say?
Failure.
What do you
NFC
say?
NFC Championship game?
I'll
blow both your minds. You know what I think Stafford has to do?
Get a win.
If Stafford, to me, Key, he's got to win a Super Bowl in the time that he's in L.A.
Because
already been to one and they lost.
So, Max.
Year one, he's got to win a playoff game. He's never won a playoff game.
Buttercup, you fist to sit here and tell me.
At least you're using my name now.
You going to sit here and tell me that the Los Angeles Rams and Les Snead and Sean McVay sat in the room after the game and they said, I think I want to get Matthew Stafford to win a playoff game in his first year, because if we win a playoff game in the first year, that's an improvement from where we were a year ago. What do you mean?
They brought him in. His contract's not for 1 year. In the time that he's with McVay, they must win a Super Bowl. We agree about that. And maybe their best shot is this year. But this year, the thing they absolutely have to do, or it goes down in flames, he must win a playoff game. He's never done it.
They did not acquire this quarterback to win a playoff game.
See, I'm at least saying NFC Championship game. That's not what they did. I'm at least saying NFC Championship game because that's still a high level.
They did not.
I understand. No, nobody goes into season and say we're trading all these pieces to just get to a divisional round.
Because guess what they did? They went to the divisional round with Jared Goff. What the hell? They want to go win a playoff game? They're trying to go to the Super Bowl. He traded him because he thought he would be great, not good. They had a good quarterback in their system. They're trying to be great.
Let's bring Diana Russini into this conversation, giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Okay, Diana. He says, hello, good morning, how are you?
You guys are on one today. Yeah, I love
we're,
this.
We're coming in hot.
Every day. Every day, Dan. So Key says they must win a Super Bowl this year with Matthew Stafford.
Get to the Super Bowl.
Or it's a disaster. Jay, you say they got to get to the conference finals, or it's a disaster. I say they must win a Super Bowl while Stafford's in L.A., but this year, to avoid disaster, Stafford must win a playoff
game. We all said they must win a Super Bowl while he's in L.A.
Once again, and I don't know what this trend is lately, I'm with Key on this. I think they 100% need to get to the Super Bowl. The pressure has been on Sean McVay, let's just go macro on this, on this young boy genius that he's been sort of coined, right, over the last few seasons. We know it didn't work with Jared Goff. Yes, it worked in a sense because they were able to go as far as they did. But they traded away everything to get Matthew Stafford. This is not for the future. This is for right now. And if they don't get to the Super Bowl here, this is considered, I view it as a failure for the Rams on Les Snead and Sean McVay. Look, we all are quick to say, wow, look how aggressive they are trying to get these players to go out there and win. What other GMs out here in on every deal? And guys, I talk to a lot of teams who are in on trades and during free agency. And it does feel like the Rams are always in it. We knew with the Odell Beckham situation, they were the quiet guys in the background. They came in late on that. But they had their eye on it the whole time because that's their mentality is, we got to get pieces because we need to win now. So go win now.
And that's what Diana's saying, right? Think about it, Jay and Max. She brought up Odell. Odell was acquired when Robert Woods was still active and not hurt. Von Miller was acquired when Robert Woods was active and still
trying to win the Super Bowl. Yeah.
You don't go and do all of that to win a playoff game.
No, of course.
But
every team wants to win the Super Bowl, of course.
So, Di, if they get to the NFC Championship game and say they lose by a touchdown, you're going to call that a failure in year one?
Because it's year one. That's my point, Diana. It's year one. He's not there for a year.
And I know all the pieces are there, but you're not going to say, hey, we're inches off?
They have the time, and I get that, but why are you so patient all of a sudden? I don't think we give. Like, now we're going to be patient.
What
now
I'm saying
we're
is,
say?
What is a disaster? Like, what does he have to do to avoid disaster? To me, Stafford, who's never won a playoff game, everyone's blamed Detroit, right? However, if he goes to L.A., they moved mountains to get him and still doesn't win a playoff game, that's up in flames, right?
Yeah, we can agree on that.
But what I'm saying is, if he wins a playoff game this year, but they don't get to where they want to go, but then next year they come back and win a Super Bowl, it was a success.
Here's what happens in this, and Diana can speak to this too. You don't win a playoff game, that's an indictment on him. If they don't get to the Super Bowl, it's an indictment on all of them, including Les Snead, including Stafford, including Sean
McVay.
Well,
the only reason that would be the case this year, Diana, is because they don't have any draft picks ever again, right? So that's
the real issue. No, they do in like 2046.
That's the issue.
And that might be like a fifth rounder.
Bunch of undrafted free agents coming up.
Guys, the other storyline to this that we're not adding or at least considering is the health of Matthew Stafford, right? So for the last few weeks, you've seen a different Matthew Stafford, and he is going to go up there because he is one of the toughest quarterbacks in the league. He's not going to go up and talk about his injuries. He knows everyone's banged up. Every quarterback is dealing with injuries. But how significant are these injuries? Is this going to be something that's going to prevent them from going far? I spoke to sources in LA. They told me he deals with chronic back pain. That means every day he wakes up, his back hurts him. And he manages it well, right? But he also has, you know, sore ankles, elbows, all these different things that you have to consider. And will it be the reason they can't go that far?
But you bought that.
You did.
Knowing that.
You did.
From the history and the medical reports that you got on his chart.
Maybe
you bought that.
Maybe there's a reason why he was in the jacuzzi, because of the back. I get it. It's all coming together now.
That's how the deal went down.
Well, the back, I'm just warming it up.
Those back injuries.
Your face key on the jacuzzi.
So between, just staying in the NFC, take someone like Dak Prescott, look at Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. Let's leave Rodgers and Brady out of this. Of those guys, who needs to win multiple playoff games the most? Not just a playoff game, okay, you want to play, but in order for this season to be, you know, moving forward for the team, who needs to win multiple playoff games the most? Dak, Kyler, and Stafford.
I'm going to just double down on this argument that we're making here, that it is on Matthew Stafford because everything they did to get him. But I think Kyler Murray has the best chances to win the most because he's the healthiest, right? He's taken over a month of rest to get that ankle back. And it's pretty clear he is the most dangerous quarterback when he's healthy at this point. You know, you have Lamar Jackson in there as well. I know that's something else that we were discussing, is the pressure on him. Absolutely. I think he's dealing with the most pressure.
How far
Lamar
off
is, you think?
Yes.
How far off is Dak, considering he's the third highest paid quarterback in the NFL?
I think it's a lot of pressure on Dak because he's already gone to the divisional round.
Yep.
He's got to go up from there. He's third highest paid quarterback in the league. They loaded up similar to Matthew Stafford, where they got a lot of pieces in play and they got a former Super Bowl winning head coach. And the expectations of the Dallas Cowboys was to be a Super Bowl contender this year. He's got to at least get this team to the NFC championship.
Got to win two games.
He's got to get them.
Here's the problem.
At least.
Are they the 6-1 Dallas Cowboys team we saw
no.
at the beginning of the season? I don't think they're as good as that team. I also don't think they're as bad as they were against the Cincinnati Bengals. I think it's somewhere in between.
Let's say, okay, Dak needs to win two. I think you can kind of form a consensus around that. You say there's a lot of pressure on Lamar. It would be nice for him to win two. He's already won one. Let's keep it moving forward. Lots of injuries, though. You said the most pressure on Lamar. When I think of all the quarterbacks in the league at this moment, Aaron Rodgers might have the most pressure to win a Super Bowl, considering Tom Brady in his first year in the NFC, no Belichick, right, gets by Rodgers and coach takes the ball out of Rodgers' hands, hands it to Tom Brady, and Brady wins the whole thing. And Rodgers got a loaded team, all the stuff surrounding him in the offseason, everything he's been through this season. Is there anyone with more pressure to win the whole thing than Rodgers this year?
I don't look at that perspective. I don't see it that way. First of all, I think if anyone can handle the pressure, it's Aaron Rodgers. I don't really think he has any issues with that. Pressure, look, everyone is going to have the pressure. I just don't think it's Aaron at this point. I think it's still going to be Lamar to take this team far. I know we have the injuries that we're discussing. They have a slew of them. They're one of the most injured teams probably outside the Tennessee Titans at this point. But at what point is he going to be the quarterback that is 100% definitely the future for the Ravens?
Assuming they give him that $350 million in a couple months.
And they're going to give it to him.
No, they will. Yeah. They are. He is the future.
Okay.
But do you believe in him at this point? Do you believe
in him? Absolutely.
You believe in Lamar.
8-4 considering all the injuries.
8-4 is great. But what you've seen of Lamar the last few weeks, you're telling me that you trust him with the interceptions he's throwing, his inability to pick up the blitz. He's struggling. This is not the same Lamar that we've seen.
This is pure conjecture. Pure conjecture. I saw Cam after he got COVID last year, and I speculated aloud on television. I've heard of COVID fog, right? And then several weeks later, he started talking about it. I wonder about that. Lamar is like two different players. Early in the season, he was picking up the blitz fine. He was killing everybody. And then the last couple of weeks, it's like, whoa, what just happened?
Something's going on. Diana, Lamar has an opportunity and a little bit of time to, they can figure that out. The pressure is on Aaron Rodgers immensely. And here's why. You go through everything we went through in the offseason. We followed him around for months, the drama, the this, the that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm coming. I don't know if I'm going. Then he got a little mishap with the COVID situation. A little white lie here and there, whatever case may be. And you've been there two times already. you were chasing, or not necessarily chasing, depending on who you ask it. There was another legend that played in that stadium as well, named Brett Favre. You also had a coach named Mike McCarthy that for 5 years he didn't give you enough, they didn't give you enough, you didn't win. All that. So now you go in and you arguably have one of the top young coaches in the game in Matt LaFleur, who's taking you to two NFC championship games, even though whatever happened at the end of the game last year, it was a mishap, whatever. Now we're at a situation where we're at now where you look like a pretty damn good team that can get there. And if you don't get there with everything that I just put together, what is that?
What's going to happen? He wants to leave anyway.
But the pressure to win.
Pressure to win for what?
Because you're Aaron damn Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, whether he wins the Super Bowl this year or not, will still go down, and I still consider him to be the best quarterback in football.
Yeah, but you know what? That I've ever seen. He will not be remembered that way if he sits on one Super Bowl for the rest of his life. Anna Russini, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, said something coming up.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.